Amen. Please take your seats. Why don't we welcome a pastor and give him a big hand before he comes here?
Praise the Lord. Are you feeling cold? Are you feeling cold? You know, I used to be in Sunday school. I spent quite a lot of years in Sunday. I had the privilege of being brought up in a Christian family, and took me to church. And I learned a lot of tricks in Sunday school, how we can give glory to God while keeping ourselves warm when it's cold. Amen. Do you want to do that exercise with me? Right, there is a special way of glorifying the Lord and clapping for God, like the children do it. I want us to do that gymnastic. It's simple. When we clap for God, we'll start by one finger at a time, then we move by two fingers, three fingers, four, and when it comes to five, we shout and we stand up. Amen. Are we comfortable doing that? I'll show you. I'm taking you back to Sunday school this morning. One finger, let's go. One finger, that's right. Then second finger, two. Praise is rising. Three. It's rising. Four. It's rising. Five. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Amen. So if you've never been to Sunday school, those are the kind of things you miss. Fantastic. Glory be to God. Let us pray. Father, we give you glory. Father, we give you praise. There is no God like you. We appreciate you for the opportunity that you are giving us this afternoon. We are appreciating you for accepting us in your presence, for accepting our worship, for accepting our praises. Have your way among us. Speak to us in the name of Jesus. Take control. In Jesus' name we have prayed. Amen. Glory be to God. I want to be speaking this morning about the old way. Amen. The old way. And I want us to read a scripture in the Bible. In Jeremiah chapter 6. The book of Jeremiah chapter 6. And I'll be reading verse 16. Jeremiah chapter 6. Verse 16. Amen. Are we there? Jeremiah is in the Ancient Testament. So if you are close to Matthew and Luke, you're on the wrong side of the Bible. Jeremiah, right after is Isaiah. Verse 16, the Bible says, "This is what the Lord says, stand at the crossroad and look. Ask for the ancient path. Ask where the good way is and walk in it, and you will find rest for your soul. But you say, we will not walk in it." Amen. This is what the Lord says. Stand at the crossroads and look. Ask for the ancient path. Ask where the good way is and walk in it, and you will find rest for your soul. Amen. The ancient way. One day I was at a university and I had to make a presentation. I'm a student, so I had to make a presentation, and I prepared a very good presentation that I had to make. And I usually use the flap chart or PowerPoint to do my presentation. Then somebody came to me, a friend of mine, a colleague of mine, and showed me some kind of fancy website, very fantastic software that I use to produce better presentation. And it looks really fantastic. And I was tempted. And I took my presentation and put it into that particular software that I've never used before. Amen. And it looks really beautiful. I can play with it. I can do so many features with it. Then, when I went to class, we were given only 15 minutes to do the presentation. 15 minutes. I went there. It just didn't work. The software refused to operate with the IT system that was there. And no one could provide me support. I tried many things. I had a fantastic presentation. I spent 45 minutes just trying to set it up. Eventually, at the end, we get there. But my tutor says, you had only 15 minutes. You could have just come with your flap chart and that would have been okay. Amen. Sometimes, the old way is the better way. Amen. Sometimes the old way is the more efficient way. Amen. And in this scripture, the Lord says to the people of Israel, He says, stand at the crossroad. And if you are confused about which way to go, go the old way. The old-fashioned way. Amen. He said, there you will find peace and rest for your soul. We're living in a society today where things are being confused. Amen. When I watch on TV, some of the TV channels, and I see a lot of things happening in various churches, in various Christian communities across the world, I am confused about which way to go. Amen. When I listen to some of the sermons that are popular in this new age, I'm confused about which way I shall go. Amen. I begin to wonder myself, maybe things has changed. Maybe this is how we should do things nowadays. But the Lord says, stand at the crossroad and look. Ask for the ancient path. Amen. We are at the crossroad today. We are at the crossroad. Do you know why we are at the crossroad? Because the Bible says, you remember the parable of the seed and the weed. The Bible says, the master has planted a good seed, but then the enemy came and he put a weed. And both are growing together. So because both are growing together, there is a confusion about which way to go. Amen. There is a confusion. But the Lord says, go back to the old-fashioned way. Amen. Doesn't the Bible say that the Lord God is the same yesterday, today, and forever? You know, God has never changed. The love of God for human race has never changed. The power of God has never changed. People think that God is dead. People think that the Lord is no longer as powerful as He used to be. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen. He has all the eternity in His hand. Sometimes you wonder, you have so many issues, and you begin to wonder, can really God do this for me? He can do it for you. Hallelujah. He has never changed. But God's standard also never changed. God has the same requirement. He has the same requirement about holiness, about sanctification. He has never changed. Hallelujah. The standard of God have never changed. And I just want to encourage us this morning that as we're living in this new society, as we're living in this confusing world, as we're living in this civilization of speed, in this civilization of modernity, let us remember the old way. Because the Lord has never changed. Hallelujah. The Lord has never changed. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 7, verse 13. Matthew 7, 13, my Bible says, enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate, and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. Amen. The old way, the old-fashioned way, the ancient path is not an easy one. It's not the road that we can be walking easily. It's a world where we need to do a lot of sacrifice. Amen. And the Bible says, many people don't choose. When people get at the crossroad, many people search for shortcuts and they forget about the old way, the old path. But you might ask me a question, what is the old path? What is the old way? Amen. Hallelujah. What is the old path? I want to take you through a few things that characterize the old way. Hallelujah. First of all, it is the old way, the old path of genuine salvation. Amen. The old way of genuine salvation. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, that if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. Amen. I remember many years ago, back in Africa, I went to do, as part of my church, we went to do evangelism in the community. And I get to, we were doing door by door. We go in door by door, we knock on the door, and we say, can you give me 5 minutes of your time? I want to share with you about the good news of the Lord Jesus. Amen. And I remember I go to a house and there's been that lady, she was there, and I begin to minister. When I finish my sermon, I say to her, do you want to receive Jesus in your life? He says, how can I refuse? Every time they preach me, I receive Jesus in my life. Actually, what she was trying to tell me is, every day in her life, she received Jesus. Every day in her life. Because she never understood what it was about. Amen. And I took time to explain her, to go with her, and to explain her to the scripture what it all meant. You know, maybe in the UK, people are comfortable to say, I don't believe in God. But back in my country, it's quite rare to find somebody who say, I don't believe in God. Everybody seems to be a Christian. Everybody presents himself as a Christian. Everybody say, I know the Lord. Everybody has read the Bible. As a matter of fact, everybody goes to church on a Sunday. But only few of them are really, really born again. Amen. Few of them, when you begin to walk with them, you begin to account to them, then you realize that only few have been through a genuine salvation. Amen. And today, church are going the new way. We are trying to hide the message of salvation because we want our church to grow, because we want to have mega churches. We are ready to recruit people and we are ready not to offend people. As long as they come to church, we are okay. And we have in our church, in ministry, people who have never been born again. Amen. The old fashioned way. The old fashioned way. Amen. Of genuine salvation. The evidence of salvation is a changed life. Amen. 2 Corinthians 5:17. If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. Amen. You know, if you are not born again, if you've never given your life to Jesus, if you've never experienced genuine salvation, there is a problem. Because you see, new birth is the master plan of God for the salvation of humanity. God has no other plans. It's the only plan God has. Hallelujah. This is why God has invested the most valuable asset, his own son. He has invested in son into that plan. So if new salvation doesn't work for you, then there is a problem. Hallelujah. It's the only plan. God has no other plan for the salvation of humanity. God has committed himself into that vision. He has prepared it for generations. He has prepared it since Adam and Eve, since the Garden and Eve of Eden. The Lord has been preparing His master plan. He has been orchestrating His master plan through the prophets, through the scripture, through the law and everything, through diverse dispensation of the word of God. He has prepared His master plan until Jesus came and He revealed the master plan. Hallelujah. So if new birth doesn't work for you, there is a problem. I want to encourage somebody here today. If you have never given your life to Jesus, if you have never accounted God, maybe you come to church, maybe you know God, maybe you read the Bible, but you don't have that personal relationship with God, I want to encourage you this morning, go to the old path and make it up with God. Hallelujah. Go back to the genuine salvation. Give your life to Jesus. If you've never cried over your life, if you've never given yourself to God, and you've never experienced that new creation, go back to the old way, and the Lord will approve your ways. Amen. And you'll find peace in your heart. You know, Christian, normally we should be, we are a strange species. We are a different species. We should be subject of research. You know, the world should put us in a cage and observe us because we have something different. The Bible says that our spirit is born again. Our spirit has been renewed. God has done a new creation in us. Amen. If anyone has never been in Christ, that new creation has never happened. But in us who have believed in Christ, the Lord has done a second creation. He has done a transformation. He transformed us. He transformed our spirit. Amen. So we are transformed people. We are different from those who've never known Jesus in their life. Amen. We are different. There is something in us. And I just want to encourage us. Go back to the old way of genuine salvation. Amen. What is the old way? Secondly, it is the old way of sanctification. Amen. The old way of sanctification. You know, sanctification is the process of separating, putting yourself apart. Amen. It's dedicated something, separating from the rest, separating from the crowd. The Bible says in the book of 1 Thessalonians, I want to read it quickly, chapter 4, from the third verse, it is God's will that you should be sanctified. That you should be sanctified. Amen. It is God's will that you should be sanctified. Because you see, when we are born again, it is our spirit that is born again. But we still have the same body. Amen. We still have the same soul. That means we still have the same weakness. We still have the same mind. We still have the same desire. We still have the same... we live in the same environment. Amen. So we are subject to the whole nature. Even if we are new creation, we are a new creation, but we are still subject. We are still having the impact of the whole nature in us. Because it is only our spirit that has changed. So sanctification is the process of submitting your body and submitting your soul to be in line with the new life that you have received in your spirit. Amen. This is the whole process of sanctification. It's submitting your body and submitting your soul, your mind, your way of thinking, so that they can be in line with the new nature that you have received. Because the new nature is only in our spirit. It's only our spirit that has received the life of God. But we need not to push our body. And that process is called sanctification. Amen. There is always a battle between the old nature and the new nature. It's a constant battle. It is a battle that will always take place as long as we are in this body, as long as we are on earth. Amen. And this is our fight. When the Bible says, fight the good fight, our fight is this fight, is submitting our body and keeping on top until the day of victory comes. Then the Lord will approve us and will say, come and enter into my joy. Amen. You have been a faithful servant. This is our battle of every day. Through that battle, we can fail. Amen. We can receive damage. We can go the wrong way. But the Lord will always be there to sustain us and to take us again. Hallelujah. Remember Peter? Peter, who has been, as he has been told this morning, he was a man of, you know, very passionate. He was doing things with energy, with passion. Peter never failed in his life. If you follow the story of Peter, you'll see that when the Lord called Peter, Peter was a fisherman. And in that time, a fisherman was like a middle class. The fishermen were like the middle class. They were not the very rich. They were not the very poor. They were right in the middle. It was a good life being a fisherman at that time. So Peter had a good life. He can provide for himself when the Lord called him. He was a hardworking man. And when he came to Jesus, he went close. He was in the inner circle of Jesus. You know, Jesus had a lot of disciples, but he had three inner circle disciples, John, James, and Peter. And Peter was always close to Jesus. He was in the inner circle of Jesus. He was really pretty much succeeding in everything he was doing. Amen. He was the only disciple who walked on water. Amen. Peter was very ambitious. He never failed in his life. And he never thought he would fail. One day the Lord said to him, he said, Peter, one day you will betray me. He said, no, that will never happen. The Lord said, Peter, one day you will betray me. He says, this will never happen. And he was right to think so because he has never failed in his life. He's always got results. But that day, when they came to look for Jesus, Peter feared for his life. He feared for his life. And he denied Jesus. Amen. Not once, not twice, but three times. He denied Jesus. And when he denied him, you know, he was standing by the gate. Every other disciple has run away. Everybody has run away from Jesus. But Peter, because he's always passionate, even when he was failing, he came across. He was stand close. He was looking. And the Bible says, a young girl recognized him. And he says, are you not one of those people who have been with Jesus? Peter said, me? No, you must be wrong. He said, you look like them. You look like one of them. Peter said, no, I've never known him. I never know him. He's not my friend on Facebook. I don't know him. Amen. He's not my friend. Three times. Then Peter cried. And you know what happened? He went back to fishing. He says, I've messed up. I've messed up. He lost the confidence. He always wanted to be in front of the rest of the disciples. But this time, he went back with them. Back fishing. And he was fishing. And he was fishing. And that day, the Bible says, as he was fishing, he walked all night without having any fish. And he was there walking all night without having any fish. You know, the real problem wasn't the fish. The problem was the word of God. He knew that he has lost the word of God. He knew he has lost the word of God. So he was there fishing. And then Jesus came around. And Jesus said, can I use your bark? I want to preach. And he gave his bark. As Jesus was preaching, as the Lord was preaching, faith came back again. Faith was rising. Faith was rising. Faith was rising in the heart of Peter. And then the Lord says, go and throw your nets over there. And when he did it, they received a lot of fish. Amen. So he was back in business again. And just when the Lord went, a few days later, he was back preaching. And this time he was preaching. Peter was preaching to 1,000 people. 3,000 people. He was back in his confidence zone. Amen. So I want to encourage you today. Go back to the old way of sanctification. Amen. And even if you have messed up, you can go back again. You can stand up again and go back again in the old way of holiness and sanctification. Amen. Because this is God's will for us. This is the old way. When you go to the old way, then you find peace in your heart. So Peter wasn't in peace when he was fishing. He wasn't in peace. He knew he has lost something. He wasn't in peace. Even not having the fish wasn't a problem for him anymore. He knew that the real problem wasn't the fish. But when the Lord ministered to his heart, then faith rose again and he was back in his feet. Amen. What is the old way? It is the old way of holiness. The old way of holiness. Amen. You know, everything in this world, everything is set up against holiness. Everything. When you watch TV, everything that is sinful is being elevated. Everything that is sinful is being promoted. Is being considered as value. Amen. When you see on TV people getting drunk, living a life of, you know, on drugs and cheating on the wife and the husband, people celebrate it. There is an industry that make money out of those stories. Amen. People go into buying magazines to read about vanity. It's a multi-million industry to talk about vanity. This is how this society is. Everything is set against holiness. When you go to school, everything they teach to children, it's against holiness. They're promoting anything against holiness. Amen. They're telling them it's all right. It's all right not to believe in God. It's all right to live a sinful life. It is your right. You can decide how you want to live your life. No one can tell you how you have to live your life against holiness. Hallelujah. When you read on the politics, when you open the TV channel, the news channel, everything is against holiness. But this is our challenge. Our challenge is to remain godly in an ungodly world. Hallelujah. The Bible says we are not from this world. This is not our world. We are on a journey. We have our kingdom. We have our society. We have our place where we go into. We are only on a journey. Hallelujah. And our challenge is to remain godly in an ungodly society. Hallelujah. It to remain heavenly minded. To remain focused on the things that matter for God. Despite everything that is happening. That was a challenge for Noah. That was a challenge for Noah and his family. To live in that environment when people were doing a lot of bad things. It was a challenge for Noah and his family to remain holy. But because he kept himself, he didn't want to go in the new way of the society of the time, the Lord approved his way. And when the deluge came, Noah was preserved. Amen. I want to encourage you this afternoon. Go into the old way of holiness. The old way. Amen. The old way. Do not just concentrate on what matter for you. Look what matter for God. What is the priority for God? Amen. Am I ministering to somebody this afternoon? Hallelujah. What is the old way, you might ask me? It is the old way of sacrifice. Amen. As Christian, we should live a life of continuous sacrifice. We should deny ourselves to promote the kingdom of God. Amen. We should be able to deny ourselves. The Bible says, if anyone wants to follow me, he has to take his cross. Amen. If anyone wants to follow me, let him take the cross. We have to deny ourselves so many things so that we can please God and so that we can promote the kingdom of God. Amen. You know, somebody said to me one day, he says, there shouldn't be anything you should refuse to God. You should be able to give to God anything he can ask you. You should be able not to refuse to God anything. Hallelujah. This is our level of sacrifice. This is the standard. That when God shows up and said to Abraham, Abraham, I want your son, you should be able to give to God what matters the most for you. This is how ready we should be to sacrifice ourselves to God. Amen. When God comes and says, I want your time, you should be able to give God your time. When God says, I want your life, you should be able to give your life to God. Hallelujah. And to sacrifice yourself. This is the standard that God wants us to live. Amen. And this is our challenge. To be living a life of continuous sacrifice. Continuous sacrifice. We don't belong to ourselves. We belong to God. Hallelujah. We should be able to say to God, use me. This is your body. This is everything that is in me is yours. You can use it anytime. And we should be able to sacrifice ourselves. This is the old-fashioned way. Amen. When we come to church, we should not be looking to be comfortable. We should be looking to slip our knee and get things done. Hallelujah. We are coming to make things happen. We are coming to work. We are coming to sacrifice ourselves for God. What is the old-fashioned way? It is the old way of prayer, study of the word, and evangelism. Amen. Prayer, study of the word, and evangelism. You know, today, we know so many things about the word of God. We preach so many sermons. We have so many revelations and insight about the scriptures that we begin to forget some of the most basic but crucial principle: prayer, word of God, evangelism. Amen. I don't care how much you know about the word of God. I don't care how much experience you've done with God. If you don't pray, you don't read the Bible, and you don't testify about Jesus Christ, then there is a problem. Hallelujah. And this is the problem of the church today. Prayer, going back to prayer, to the basic, going back to the Word of God, to the study of the Word of God. Amen. Going back to evangelism. This is the old way. But trust me, it works. Hallelujah. For a church to grow, the old way works. We can bring the new way. We can accommodate ourselves. We can bring so many accessories. But prayer, the word of God, evangelism, has to be the foundation. It has to be the foundation. Hallelujah. There is no short way. Hallelujah. We have today people living a Christian way, I'll say a Christian life on the internet, a digital Christian life. When they listen to message on the internet, they're living on the internet, they pray on the internet. Hallelujah. If you don't pray, you don't have time to pray, you don't have time to read the Bible, there is a problem. Hallelujah. You know, something about the Word of God, and I want to take you to a different story. Something about the Word of God. The Bible says, Matthew 15, if you go to Matthew 15, and I'll be reading verse 32. Praise the Lord. Listen to what the Bible says. This is about Jesus feeding the 4,000. Verse 32, Jesus called his disciples to him and said, I have compassion for these people. They have already been with me 3 days and have nothing to eat. I do not want to send them away hungry, or they may collapse on the way. Amen. I have compassion for these people. They have already been with me 3 days and they have nothing to eat. I do not want to send them away hungry because they may collapse on the way. And if you go back and you read the whole story, you will see that the Lord performed a miracle by multiplying bread And he feed the 5,000, the 4,000. Listen to me. As the Lord was preaching to a crowd of people, they were angry. They needed to eat. Amen. Because they stayed there for many days listening to the sermon. But the Lord continued to preach. He continued to preach. He continued to preach. I'm thinking myself that there might be some young people there who become fed up because, you know, that sermon never finished. They were like, come on. I'm hungry. I need to eat something. Why Jesus is continuing to preach and to preach and to preach? You know, sometimes when you have issues in your life, you have problems in your life, you have challenges in your life, even the word of God begins to irritate you. When you listen to another sermon, you begin to wonder yourself. You say, but Lord, you continue to give me the word, but I need bread. I need thee to pay my bills. I have this problem in my home. I have this financial situation. Why don't you care? You begin to ask yourself questions. Lord, why don't you care that my family is dying? I'm looking for a job. But the Lord continued to preach. He continued to preach. He continued to preach. But when you read this story, when he finished preaching, then he said to the disciple, I don't want to send them away because they might collapse. So all the time he was preaching, the Lord was really, really aware of the level of need. He was aware of that. Amen. He was aware of the level of need. But he focused on the priority. He was preaching the gospel. But do not think that the Lord doesn't know what you're going through. He knows exactly what you're going through. Amen. He knows exactly the level of the need. Because he even said himself, if I let them go, they will collapse. So he knew the level of need. But he focused on the word. Because that's the priority. Amen. The real problem you have is not the problem of the bread. The real problem is not the problem of the job. The real problem is not the unpaid bills. The real problem is the word of God. This is the problem. When we begin to resolve the problem of the word of God, it'll take care of everything else in due time. Amen. This is the real problem, the word of God. Jesus was aware that these people, they will collapse. I know how angry they are. I know their needs. I know their challenge. But the whole way of the word of God is the most important. And when the need of the whole way was met, when the word arose in people's heart, then it released the bread and people ate. Hallelujah. Because when the word is in your heart, you begin to understand that man shall not live on bread alone. That the Lord can create something else for you. Hallelujah. Sometimes you are looking for money to resolve a situation. But the Lord can resolve that situation without even you needing money. He can resolve that situation in a different way. Hallelujah. The people of Israel, they've been walking in the desert. They were expecting bread. But the Lord sent something new. He sent manna. Hallelujah. They never thought that in the desert they'll be fed. But the Lord provided for them. Hallelujah. There is a story in the book of Ruth of a man called Abimelech. That man was with his wife, Ruth, Naomi, with his wife, Naomi. And they were living in Jerusalem, in Bethlehem. And it was a wonderful life. Until one day, famine came in Bethlehem. And as the famine came, nothing was growing out of the soil. Nothing at all was coming. So starvation began. And that man decided to leave Bethlehem. And he went to Moab. And as he went to Moab, the Bible says he died with his two sons. But later on, they heard that Bethlehem that they have left because there were no bread, the Lord has visited Bethlehem again. And that bread was full. And they were trying to go back again. Hallelujah. If you read that story, you will understand that Abimelech, when he left Bethlehem, he thought that the real problem was the bread. And he was looking for bread. So he was able to move even the place of the promise of God. He was able to move away from Bethlehem, the house of bread. But the real problem wasn't the bread. The real problem was he lost his faith in God. Hallelujah. He lost his confidence in God. He lost his trust in God. He says, well, maybe God has done this in the past, but he can no longer do it for me. He lost that confidence. Amen. And you will understand that because Abimelech's name means God is my king. Amen. That's his name. He has a beautiful meaning. God is my king. His wife, Naomi, the name Naomi means something sweet, grace, something beautiful. Amen. And Bethlehem, where they were living, means the house of bread. And Bethlehem was in Judah. Judah will mean, which means praise. So if you see just the meaning of the names, it was a beautiful paradise that they created for themselves. God is my king. Sweet and grace, living in praise, in the house of God, full of bread. But then when the famine came, they had the first son, and they named the first son, I think the name was Eliu, which meant destruction. Because they saw destruction in the country. They begin to see destruction around them because of starvation, because of the famine. And they begin to name their children based on the circumstance of their life. Amen. That was a sign that their trust in God was deteriorating. Amen. It was a sign that they began to lose confidence. And I want to encourage you today, as we're going back to the old way, never, never give a name to your life because of the circumstance you are going through. It's not because you are jobless. Don't say to yourself that I'm useless just because you are jobless. Don't say I'm useless. Amen. Don't look at the circumstance around you and begin to label your destiny. Do not look what's happening today to put a name to your future. Amen. Because God can walk beyond the current circumstance in your life. Hallelujah. Abimelech didn't see that. He saw that I have no more future in this country, in Bethlehem. I have no more future. I have to leave. And the funny thing is, the journey from Bethlehem to Moab, they got to go through the desert. And they also have to go through Jericho. So when they go through Jericho first, it's a reminder of miracle that the Lord has done for the people of Israel when they came from Egypt and they wanted to establish themselves into the promised land. Jericho was a challenge, but the Lord, through praise and worship, destroyed the wall of Jericho. So when they are going back to Moab, they're passing through Jericho, they see a reminder of how great God is. But they continue the journey. Hallelujah. And they have to go through the desert. The desert is a reminder of how God sustained the people of Israel 40 years in the desert, providing for them. So they see all this testimony of how great it is, but still they continue the journey. Still, they lack confidence. Maybe they were saying, well, he did it in the past, but I don't think he can do it today. Hallelujah. Every time you leave the place of confidence and faith and you decide to go back to Moab, the Lord will put in your way a reminder of the thing he's done for you in the past. And every time you ignore those things, it is a way of saying to God, I don't think you can do it for me today. Hallelujah. It is a way to say to God, I know 5 years ago you did a miracle for me. I was in need and you operated a miracle for me. I know I was in a hospital bed and you healed me. But I don't think this situation you are able to do it. This is the message we're giving when we're going back to Moab. Amen. Because of the bread. The problem is not the bread. The problem is the word of God. When we bring ourselves back to the old way of the word of God, we begin to feed ourselves with the Word of God, we begin to trust the Word of God again, then we will understand that even out of the stone, God can produce bread. Then we begin to understand that there is no limitation to God. Hallelujah. There is no limitation to what the Lord can do. That was the story of Peter that we share, Haley. Peter fished all night without having anything. But when he sat at Jesus' feet and he began to listen to the word, faith rose again. And as soon as the Lord says, go, and this is where you should fish, as soon as he did it, he had a miraculous, fantastic result, because the word of God filled his heart. Amen. So God knows that the priority is not the bread. The priority is the word of God. So I want to encourage us, as we're going back to the old way, the priority is not about us. It's not about our career. It's not about our job. It's not about our study. The priority is the word of God. It's what the Lord wants us to do. What the Lord wants me to do. The Bible says, seek ye the kingdom of God first. As we seek the kingdom of God, the Lord will take care of everything else. Amen. The old way. It's the ancient way, but it works very well. Amen. And finally, it is the old way of giving. Amen. What is the old way? The old way of giving. As Christian, as I say, we should be able to sacrifice ourselves, and we should be able to give. Amen. To give to sustain the work of God. And when I talk about giving, I'm not just talking about giving our tithe and our offering to the church, but I'm also talking about giving our time to be a blessing to other people. Amen. Giving our time, giving our life to be a blessing to other people. I praise the Almighty God for what Andrew and Grace are doing in South Africa. Amen. And I know that this church is committed in doing good work around the world. And I just want to encourage us to do even more. Amen. This is our mission. You know, one of the challenges of church, of Christianity today, if you read the Bible in the book of Acts, chapter 10, verse 38, the Bible says, you know how Jesus was anointed with Holy Spirit and power, and how he went around doing good to people and healing people. Amen. The Bible says, you know how Jesus was anointed with the Holy Spirit, going around doing good. One of the challenges with Christianity today is that there is so much anointing in Christian gathering, so much anointing in Christian congregation, in Christian meetings, so much anointing, but there is a little going around to do good things. Amen. Jesus anointed was going around to do good things. And the good thing he was doing wasn't always about raising the dead. It wasn't always about preaching to 5,000 people. It wasn't always about performing miracles. Sometimes the good work of Jesus was just to speak to that tax collector, Zacchaeus, that nobody loved in the community. And when he said to him, I'm coming to yours today. I'm coming to your house today. I want to pay you a visit. Hallelujah. You know, some people are not ready to receive the word of God yet. They just want somebody to be there and to say, I love you and I care for you. Hallelujah. For some people, it doesn't matter how much sermon you give to them. They are not ready yet. But they have need. They just need somebody to say, you know, I care for you. And then that will open their heart to receive the word of God. Hallelujah. The good word of Jesus, sometimes it was just going to visit that prostitute that everybody has judged already. And Jesus said to the prostitute, woman, I judge you not. Everybody has judged her, but Jesus says, I judge you not. And then he said, go and sin no more. And guess what? She was saved from that day, because Jesus refused to judge her. Just good work. Hallelujah. Just good work. And this is the old way. We should go back to giving our time to do good work. Amen. We are in this community in Doncaster. Let us do some good work in this community. Let us change people's life. Amen. Let us bring the word of God. But let us also do good work so that people will see in us something special that we are giving, hallelujah, to people. And what is the old way finally? It is the old way of the fullness of the Holy Spirit. Amen. You know, as a church of this end time, we cannot afford to miss the anointing of the Holy Spirit. It's a risk that we should not take. Amen. The Bible says in the book of Joel, and I'm finishing my sermon today, the Lord's prophesying by the mouth of prophet Joel says, in the end, I will pour my spirit. In the last day, I will pour my spirit upon all flesh. Your daughter and son will prophesy. So when God was dreaming about today's church, God was in the mind of God, he was seeing a church full of the Holy Spirit. Amen. That was in the mind of God. Because when a prophet prophesies, it means that the prophet has been in the mind of God and he has taken what is in the mind of God and he has released it. So Joel has released what was in the mind of God for the end time, a church filled with the Holy Spirit. And when you look in the book of the Acts, you'll see that being filled with the Holy Spirit was a requirement to be involved in ministry in church at the time. Hallelujah. When you look at the book of the Acts, you see the church moving by the power of the Holy Spirit. This is our challenge today. This is our challenge today. We're living in a new world of technology and the world of internet, and we have forgotten about the most important things, about our mission as a church, is to be filled with the Holy Spirit so we can be out there making a difference in people's lives, so we can be out there bringing winning soul to the Lord, promoting the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. We are not a church just to meet and rejoice ourselves of our fellowship, which is a good thing. But we should be challenging people outside. We should be going further. We should extend ourselves. Hallelujah. As I said in the beginning, there are levels that we can still experience with God. There are things that we can still see with God if we dare to go the old way. Amen. If we dare to go the old way of prayer, of word of God, evangelism, and being filled with the Holy Spirit, there are challenges out there that we should be able to fulfill. Amen. Limitation will be removed. There shall be performances. And we shall be greater than we are today. Amen. We can walk on water as Peter. We can experience new things if we go back the old way. This is my message for you today. Let us go the old way. Let us remember the basic, elementary principle of the Word of God. And let us go to it because it works. It did work for the early church. It can work for us. Hallelujah. It can work for you in Jesus' mighty name. And if you have any need at all, any challenge at all, if you're going through hardship, you're having challenge in your life, the Lord knows the level of your need. He knows the level of your need. Do not think that he doesn't care. He cares for you. He knows your need. Just let the word of God fill your heart and you will see he will provide bread in due time. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. God bless you. Shall we stand in the house of God? Shall we stand? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I don't know what, as I was speaking, what the Lord has put in your heart. I don't know what the Lord has ministered into your heart. But I just want you, just for a few minutes, begin to pray. Just for a few minutes, begin to pray. Depending on what the Lord has put in your heart. Maybe there is an area in your life that you need to put in order with God. Maybe you have just realized how far away you have become from God. You have just realized how busy you are with life and you have forgotten some of the most important things. You have forgotten the priority. I don't know, maybe you've never given your life to Jesus. You come to church, but you never really encountered Jesus. This is an opportunity for you. Just begin to pray. Just begin to speak to God. I don't know what the Lord has put into your heart. Just begin to pray. You don't need to shout. You can pray in your heart, but just let your heart rise into God. Maybe you have been complaining lastly. You've been complaining because your problem are so big and the Lord seems not to care. You've been complaining a lot about what you are going through. Just begin to realize that God cares for you. Just begin to realize that God cares for you. And begin to worship Him and to give Him praise. To give Him praise for what He has done already. Maybe you have lost confidence. You have lost confidence. You have lost confidence. You have lost confidence. Because you've compromised your sanctification. You have lost confidence. Just begin to put yourself back into that position of grace again. Begin to put yourself back. Hallelujah. Begin to put yourself back into that position of grace. Put yourself back. Hallelujah. Maybe you have lost your trust and your faith in God. The promise of God are not being fulfilled in your life. You are on a journey from Bethlehem to Moab. You are on a journey. Just begin to open your hearts and see what the Lord has done for you in the past. And begin to go back in faith. Let faith rise again in your heart. Let faith rise again in your heart. Let it rise. Let it rise. You are at a crossroad. You don't know which way to go. Go the old pathway. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. You might be seated.
Amen. Praise God. Why don't we show our appreciation for Pastor for bringing the Word of God? Thank you, Pastor Juno, for bringing us the Word of God. And that's what it's all about, Juno, filling yourself with the Word of God. And like you said, it's not the bread that is the problem. It's us, not enough Word of God within us, not enough faith within us. And that is the absolute truth. And we should honor a man of God like that, Juno, for bringing us the truth. Juno, and why don't we all stand up and just show him our honor and just appreciation to the man of God. Thank you, Pastor.
Praise God. We are the body of Christ and we are a living body. We're not a dead body, we're alive. And God wants to fill us with Himself. And through His Word and in His Spirit, He will bring life into every single one of us. We've got so much potential. He's put us in this area for a reason. And I don't think we've grasped hold of the real potential and what God is doing in this place. But he's got a hand on us. Praise God.